And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Alaska State Board of Education is considering a regulation change that would further limit how much money local governments can give school districts. At its regularly scheduled meeting tomorrow, the board will decide whether to open the 30-day comment period for the proposed change before deciding on approval at a later meeting. KTOO's Jamie Deep reports.
The new regulation would narrow the definition of what kind of spending counts as a local contribution. State law currently limits how much municipalities can give to districts. Several school districts interpret the limit to apply only to money for instructional services. Some municipalities, like the city and borough of Juneau, give additional money to their school districts for non-instructional services like transportation and preschool. The regulation change would end this practice. If the regulation is approved, the Juneau School District would need to cut more than $2 million in funding for student activities, food services, after-school care, and more. Leadership from the Alaska Council of School Administrators said in an email to KTOO the change could affect districts that represent nearly half of the state's students. The Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, or DEED, drafted a version of the change last November. DEED wrote in a memo to the board that it's proposing the change to match federal definitions and to remain in compliance with a yearly federal disparity test. The non-instructional local contributions haven't been considered in the test. One of the state's legislative fiscal analysts told KTOO it also wasn't included in this year's test, which the state failed. DEED officials didn't respond to questions from KTOO Tuesday. The board will decide whether to open the 30-day public comment period during its business meeting tomorrow. DEED has requested the board include the regulation change at the special meeting in July if the board opens public comment this week. There's also an opportunity for the public to comment on the agenda items early Wednesday morning during the virtual board meeting. Meeting information can be found on the board's website. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
The Juneau Assembly is mulling over a plan to implement a ranked-choice voting system for local elections beginning next year. On Monday, members unanimously forwarded an ordinance for public testimony and a vote on whether to implement the system. Assemblymember Ella Atkinson proposed the ordinance. During a previous meeting, she said she thinks voters will support the change.
I think that ranked choice voting in this case makes it a lot easier to, build consensus in our community to fully, express the nuances of every Juneauite's vote.
Alaska uses a ranked choice voting system for statewide elections. It allows voters to rank candidates by preference in open primaries rather than partisan primaries. Proponents say the system helps tame hyperpolarized politics and promote a more inclusive election process. Pushback comes primarily from Alaska conservatives since voters approved the system in 2020 and used it for the first time in 2022. Alaska is one of only two states that use ranked choice voting. Meanwhile, 10 Republican-led states have banned it. Juneau wouldn't be the first municipality to adopt the system. Cities across the U.S., including New York, San Francisco, and Minneapolis, already used ranked choice voting in local elections. Assemblymember Alicia Hughes-Scandes said during Monday's meeting she supports the change, but wants to make sure there's enough opportunity for the public to weigh in. The city plans to do more public outreach before the Assembly's final vote in late July.
I love that we do ranked choice voting at the state. I love that we voted to keep it. So I don't have a problem saying, yep, and this is how the state of Alaska votes, and this is how we vote locally, too.
According to data from the state's Division of Elections, Juneau voters appear to favor ranked choice voting. Juneau overwhelmingly voted against a repeal effort on the ballot last election, which only very narrowly failed statewide. This October's local election will not use a ranked choice voting system, even if members adopt the ordinance before then. And the Juneau Assembly voted to wait on a second extension of Juneau's Mendenhall River levee until after this flood season. Assemblymember Greg Smith says the project to protect additional homes from annual flooding faces engineering and funding obstacles that cannot be solved before the flood expected later this summer.
We want to do as much as we can, but this one just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
The city's lawyer says there isn't enough time to permit reinforcements for another section of the riverbank this summer. Without boulders to armor the bank from erosion, city officials say they aren't confident that a second levee extension would hold up against a flood. City officials say the affected property owners would also need to vote on whether to create another local improvement district to divide the cost, estimated at more than $2 million. The levee extension, called Phase 1B, would go down Brotherhood Bridge on Glacier Highway. City Manager Katie Kester says the intention would be to protect 96 homes and commercial properties from an 18-foot flood, the likelihood of which is unknown.
There would be 96 parcels if we did not do 1B that would flood in a 18-foot event. We would attempt to mitigate the impact on 30 of those parcels.
She says the city will use large sandbags called super sacks to protect 30 properties on Meadow Lane that are expected to see more water due to an initial levee extension that the Assembly approved last month. The Assembly will consider the extension again next season once city staff draft a plan to pay for it. And Hoonah's police chief submitted his resignation after less than 2 years in the role. Then the city fired him for misconduct. He says it was retaliation. KTOO's Clarice Larson reports from Hoonah.
The city of Hoonah's chief of police, Carlos Frias, submitted his resignation on Friday after he was placed on administrative leave. On Monday, he was informed that the city had declined it and terminated his employment. Frias says he was placed on leave because of an excessive use of force complaint. He argues the investigation was one-sided and aimed at removing him. He alleges he was pushed out of the role because he began investigating complaints of misconduct against some city leaders. City leaders deny the allegations and say he was fired for a series of violations, including excessive use of force. In an interview on Friday, Frias says he did not want to leave the role, but he said city officials told him he could resign or be fired.
A lot of it was just constant retaliation from the city. But the biggest thing was that they were already planning on firing me anyway.
Frias began his tenure as chief in the fall of 2023. He and his family moved to Hoonah from Tucson, Arizona, where he also worked in law enforcement. Hoonah is a small fishing community on the northeastern side of Chichagof Island, west of Juneau. Frias says he was investigating alleged domestic violence and sexual assault complaints made against some city leaders, along with other misconduct that he believes was being intentionally unreported.
As I was gathering more information on stuff that was going on within the city and I went to question the city, that's when everything just kind of went south. I was told, hey, you're not supposed to investigate that.
Hoonah's city attorney, Jim Sheehan, denies the allegations. In an interview on Monday, he said, quote, if he's alleging that his termination was a result of retaliation by the city or any official employer at the city, that's a false statement, unquote. Sheehan confirmed that Frias was placed on administrative leave on May 13th before he submitted his resignation, but declined to give a reason why on Monday afternoon. Later that day, city officials informed Frias he was fired for misconduct. Frias says he worries about the public's safety and residents' ability to report concerns or problems without fear of retaliation.
I did my homework here. I put in the work so that people can actually trust me here. And it's unfortunate that I have to leave because certain circumstances are getting me out of here.
The interim chief is Benjamin Botts, formerly with the Ketchikan Police Department. Sheehan says the city hasn't begun searching for a new permanent replacement for the chief, but he expects to see that happen in the coming days. Frias can choose to appeal the decision to terminate him. He says he plans to leave Hoonah as soon as he can. In Hoonah, I'm Clarice Larson.
And May was a record-breaking month for rain in southeast Alaska. Petersburg, Ketchikan, Haines, and Skagway all received record amounts of monthly rainfall. Across the panhandle, many communities saw double or triple the amount of rainfall they normally get. Most communities also experienced colder-than-average temperatures. National Weather Service meteorologist Zoe Kaplan says that this kind of weather is unusual in the spring.
This whole event is pretty anomalous because these are totals that we would normally see in the fall. But I guess it's continued through the winter and made it through the spring as well.
The region's rain can be blamed on a series of atmospheric rivers sweeping through southeast. Atmospheric rivers are a thick band of moisture that can carry a lot of water from warm regions to cooler ones.
Usually we get around weak atmospheric rivers around here just because we're so far north, but there was a really good stream of moisture coming from the tropics for this one, and we were seeing moderate values for this atmospheric river, so it just kind of funneled all of that moisture right into the panhandle.
Most of the rain was in the southern part of southeast. Ketchikan was hit the hardest, receiving over 25 inches of rain. This unusual weather caused landslides near Ketchikan and Metlakatla. Multiple communities also broke daily rainfall records throughout the month. The impact of climate change can make weather events like this more severe. But Kaplan says this May's deluge shouldn't be a future trend for Southeast.
This isn't necessarily a normal event that would happen every year, and it probably won't become a tradition or anything like that, so you don't have to worry. But it definitely is possible. So when things like this all come together, then it can create some crazy things in the atmosphere.
Looking forward, Kaplan says that while June will still be wet, it won't be as wet as May. Though the rain will continue, there should be some breaks between the showers in the coming weeks. And a 9-year-old has won the Sitka Salmon Derby for the second time in 3 years. Caleb Gray brought in the biggest fish near the beginning of the 5-day event, and no one else ever came close. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Caleb Gray is standing on the weigh-in barge in Sitka's Crescent Harbor Sunday afternoon as the seconds count down toward the end of the 70th Sitka Salmon Derby. There's always a chance someone might come charging in right at the wire with a bigger fish, but no other boats are in sight. Caleb sounds the horn, bringing the derby to an end and sealing his victory. It's deja vu all over again as he performed this same task 2 years ago as a 7-year-old. Gray will take home $20,000 prize money if the result stands, and it likely will. His 34-pound king was over 2 pounds larger than his nearest competitor. Todd Nevers will take second place with a 31.8-pound king. Jeremiah Johnson will take third with a 30.8-pound king. All results are unofficial until the awards ceremony on June 12th in Harrigan Centennial Hall. With a one-fish bag limit, this was not the largest derby, but participants did surprisingly well despite gale-force winds that blew through on both weekends. 155 people fished in the event, turning in 312 kings, weighing an average of 15 pounds. Collectively, that makes about 4,700 pounds of fish. Only 12 competitors turned in a fish each of the 5 days of the Derby. That kept total poundage averages below a more typical event with a larger bag limit and better conditions. In addition to his third-place win, Jeremiah Johnson will claim the total poundage prize with 101.5 pounds. Riley Bernhardt, who won total poundage in 2019 as an 11-year-old, is in second place with 96.7 pounds. And Cary Gray will take third with 95.7 pounds. Cary Gray is the mother of 2-time champion Caleb Gray. Their boat, by the way, is the appropriately named Relentless. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
This is KTOO.